flow out of your bellies this morning. Let the river flow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want us to start in John 14. We will just read verse 16. And I will pray. And Jesus will ask the Father. And He shall give you another Comforter, which we know from verse 26 is the Holy Ghost, that He may abide with you how long? Does it say, abide with you from the moment the church service begins to the moment the church service ends? What does it say? Forever. As in, now, and into and through eternity. Forever means eternal. So what is Jesus saying? He is saying that He would ask the Father to give us another Comforter, the Holy Spirit. That He would abide or live with us forever. This morning, we need to understand the role of the Holy Ghost in our lives. We are going to make the next move in our faith. And that will consist of relying more and more and more and more on the Holy Ghost. Are we still here? Let's look at this morning. We know in John chapter 3, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus at that time did not understand what Jesus was saying. But we on this side of the cross, we know exactly what this means. Every one of us who are a believer in Jesus, before we believed, the old man lived inside of us. An old man that was driven by sin. But something happened. Jesus went to the cross. He shed His blood. And according to what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 6, the old man died. And the new man came to life. Died with Christ. Buried with Christ, risen with Christ. So let's look at this from our point of view. Before we were saved, we were lost. The old man was living inside of us. But then we believed in the Christ, the cross, the resurrection. We heard the gospel. The Spirit led us to Jesus. What happened? The old died. And inside each and every one of you who are a believer in Jesus, the new man now lives inside. Now let's go one step further. When God created man, the moment after He finished, He saw a lifeless body. Yet what happened? God breathed into man, and he became a what? Living soul. Adam, the first man, came to life. What do we see in John chapter 20? After Jesus explains and expounds the Scriptures, to the disciples that are in the room. To those like the men who went to Emmaus and others, Jesus expounded the Scripture and they believed in the Christ, the cross, the resurrection. Then Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." What happened at that moment? The new man in Christ came to life inside of us. You see, when Jesus breathed and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost," we're talking about the birth of the new man. For us to operate in Holy Ghost power, for us to live our lives following the leading and the guiding of the Spirit, it begins with being born again. Repeat after me. I am born again. Therefore, the Spirit is inside of me. How do you know? Because the new man in life is alive inside of you. Look at every one of the fruits of the Spirit. Every one of them. They come into being when? When the new man in Christ comes alive inside of us. So first, if we are going to live an overcoming, victorious life, we were born again. Every one of us who are a believer in Jesus, you are born again. And you can live the overcoming, victorious life that Jesus has for you. Are we still here? Now, what do we see in Acts chapter 1 before Jesus ascends? It's almost like he's reminding them of the John 14 moment. Jesus said what? Go to Jerusalem, tarry and wait. Then what? The Holy Spirit will come down and they will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. You shall receive power. Jesus was not just talking about the church at that moment. Jesus was talking about each and every single believer who was listening to him at that moment. So those who were baptized in the Holy Ghost, the new man is already alive inside of them. Are we together on this? You cannot receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost without the new man being alive inside of you. But now with the new man inside, what happened to so many of us? We were baptized with the Holy Ghost. And from that point on, ye shall receive power. Power to live this life. You see, what did Jesus say? The Holy Ghost would be living inside of you. So where is the Holy Ghost this morning? Especially those baptized with the Holy Ghost. Where is the Holy Ghost this morning? He's inside of you. When you walk out the door this morning, when you go to In-N-Out or Popeyes, not Chick-fil-A, where is the Holy Ghost inside of you? When you walk in that car, the Holy Ghost is still there. When you go to your job tomorrow, when you go to school, the Holy Ghost, for those who are born again, baptized with the Holy Ghost is with you every single step of the way. Every single step. What we are going to focus on here is now that we are born again, How many are born again?
Yes.
How many has been baptized with the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
What now? How shall we live our lives now that we are baptized with the Holy Ghost and born again? Now, the Apostle Paul was very clear. He said in Romans chapter 8, what? Walk after the Spirit. He also says the same thing in the book of Galatians. Walk after the Spirit. Now, where is the Spirit? The Holy Spirit is inside of us. So we are waiting for the voice of the Spirit who is inside of us to help us live this life. Every one of us can live an overcoming, victorious life. And it's not by following the law or man-made rules. It is by following the leading and the guiding of the Spirit that is inside of you. What did Jesus say? He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So Jesus, through the Spirit, inside of you. Why? So He can help you live the overcoming, victorious life. Now the Spirit wants us to focus on three specific areas. But let's make this clear before we get there. Every part of our life, the Spirit can lead and guide us through. Every part. Our first point of emphasis, the Spirit wants us to look at, is healing. Now, if you look at the ministry of Jesus, and I want to focus on a few people here which had something in common. The guy whose friends lowered him through the roof to get to Jesus. The woman, the Syrophoenician woman, who trailed Jesus saying, heal my daughter, heal my child, heal my child. The woman with the issue of blood and Jairus both. Let's throw in blind Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus as well. What do they all have in common? They had heard about Jesus and they came to Him. Every one of these that we just mentioned came to Jesus. So many in the multitude, names we will never know on this side of glory. They came to Jesus. Even the Roman centurion, he sent his servant out there, but he still came to Jesus. Why were they coming to Jesus? These were coming to Jesus to receive a healing touch from Him. Every single one of them. They heard about Jesus and they had faith in Jesus to the point where they came to Jesus and Jesus healed every one of them. He told the guy lowered through the roof, rise, take up your bed and walk. The woman who annoyed Jesus entire and stayed on Him, what happened? Jesus spoke the word and her child was healed. What about the woman with the issue of blood? She fought through the crowd. She was determined. She touched the hem of the garment. She was healed. What about Jairus? He waited by that port for Jesus to come. He patiently waited for the woman with the issue of blood. He brought Jesus to his house, and his daughter was miraculously raised from the dead. Blind Bartimaeus, he was determined. The people told him to shut up. He got louder. They received his healing. You see, they went to Jesus. Now, this morning, I want to speak specifically to us who are believers in Jesus. What happened when we believed in Jesus? We became born again. What happened when we received the baptism in the Holy Ghost? We were empowered. The Holy Ghost being inside of us. Let me ask you the question. Do we need to come to Jesus the first time we did? What was that? Salvation. We came to Jesus. Or should I say, the Spirit led us to Jesus. But we still came to Jesus at the leading of the Spirit. And what happened? New man comes to life. Later baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now we know that the Spirit is inside of us and there is power. So, when we come for healing. Yes, I know. Come to church. Lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. But I'm here to tell you that there is something inside of you called the Holy Ghost. Jesus said what? He will never leave you. He will abide with you forever. There is something inside of you that if you allow Him to move, you will receive your healing. Your eyes, your focus on Jesus, absolutely. Trusting Jesus will activate the Holy Spirit inside of you. And that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will rise with healing in your body. You see, a non-believer, they don't have this. But we, the believers in Jesus, we have this inside of us. We think of Jesus on the right hand of the Father. Yes, He is. But He is also inside of us. We think of the Holy Spirit as only being in the church service. Yet what do we see? He will abide with you forever. So this healing touch of the Holy Ghost is inside of you. That's why walking after the Spirit becomes so vitally important. Because when we walk after the Spirit, the faith of Jesus inside of us, because Jesus is inside of us, His faith is inside of us. So our faith is in the faith of Jesus. And what will happen? I am healed. I am whole. From the top of my head to the soles to the tip of my toes. 1 Peter 2:24 said, I am. And if I am, what? We are healed. I am healed. I am whole. From the top of my head to the tip of our toes. You see, the Holy Ghost is inside of you. So you can receive the healing touch from Jesus. Are we still here? The healing touch of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. We just have to realize He's there and allow Him to operate and flow. And then that healing flow of Jesus, the gift of healing, will operate in your life. Where does it begin, though? Follow the leading and the guiding of the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Are we still here? Number two, deliverance. And let's focus this not on demons or anything like that, because we are believers in Jesus. And demons cannot be inside of us. Amen?
Amen.
There is no demon inside of you. There is no devil inside of you. If you are a born-again, washed in the blood believer in Jesus, and there is definitely not a believer in you, a demon in you, if you are baptized in the Holy Ghost. So let's make that clear. The Holy Ghost does not share room with a demon. The Holy Ghost would drive them away immediately. But they're already gone. Why? Because when we were born again, that came to an end. Jesus cast out the demons, and now, as born again believers, we have the Holy Ghost inside of us. But we are still in fleshly bodies. Amen? All you got to do is that, and yes, we're still in fleshly bodies. With fleshly emotions. That has not changed. Now, a lot of the emotions we can view as positive, happy, joyful. But there is always something lurking inside of us. And what's that? The emotional desires. We hear a lot about emotional happiness. That's why, when we look at Galatians chapter 5, I'm not going to read that laundry list. Why so many people who are not believers in Jesus fall into that trap? Because they are what? Dominated by fleshly emotions. Aided by the old man being alive. But we, as believers in Jesus, we have not so learned this. The old is dead, but we're still in an emotional body. And all you have to do, turn on the TV, the internet, your cell phone, every form of media out there, and what are they doing? They're playing to your emotion. They want you to commit all of this laundry list of bad things, mostly so they could sell their product. But the devil, he's selling a different product. He's selling sin. Because if he can sell sin to your emotional side, then you're following after the flesh and you will not be victorious. However, we have something inside of us that can help us stand in those moments. And what is this? The Holy Ghost. Now there are many, not inside this church, but there are many who, when they face these situations, they think they're alone. It's just them and the situation and maybe another person. But the Holy Ghost has the message. You're not alone. So when that person is pressuring, trying to get a believer to use drugs or drink alcohol or anything like that. There is something inside of you or someone inside of you that wants to help you through that situation. I am inside of you, Jesus says. So when we face a situation where we could be hateful, we have a Jesus through the Holy Spirit that brings love. When we could be sorrowful, we have a Jesus through the Holy Spirit that can bring joy. We have a Jesus. When we face conflict, He will bring peace. We have a Jesus who, when we are facing a situation where it looks like we'll crumble, He brings long suffering. We have a Jesus through the Holy Spirit who, when the situation looks bad, He can make it good. We have a Savior through the Holy Spirit. When the situation could be harsh, He becomes gentle. We have a Jesus. When the situation could be full of doubt, we have a Jesus through the Holy Spirit that can bring faith. We have a Jesus through the Holy Spirit. When we could give into losing control, to give us self-control instead. And yes, even one more. When it looks like we're on our own, we have a Jesus who will say, "Surrender to me. I am meek and lowly. Depend on me, and I will give you rest." You see, in all of these situations that arise, and they will try to make you fall into this trap, we have something inside of us, the Holy Spirit, that wants to rise up and help us. The Holy Spirit is inside of you to help you. I'm not saying you won't face temptation. I am saying this, though. The Holy Spirit's going to stand there right inside of you and tell you, flee temptation. Why did James say there's not a temptation that really can affect any of us? Because the Holy Spirit is inside of us, therefore making us able to stand in the face of every temptation. It's not us standing on our own. It's the Holy Spirit saying, "I am with you. You can stand. Rely on me." Are we still here? Number three. Let's get the right number. Number three. Blessing. Blessing. We love reading about the accounts of an Abraham, especially when the Apostle Paul said, "And Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." And we love reading about a Jacob and an Isaac and a Moses and a David and all of these mighty men who believed in God. But they also operated in the blessings of God. Or should I say, God operated His blessings through them. You see, the Lord told Abraham to leave his father's house, to go to a land that He would show him. Abraham did so. What happened? Not just the long-term blessing, but the blessings in his life. The cattle, the livestock, the money and the finances. All of this came. Why? Abraham believed God. And he did what God told him to do. And the blessings came. If you look at Isaac, he thought about going to Egypt. But the Lord told him specifically, do not do so. And the blessings flowed. If you look at Jacob, for a season, he was in Laban's household. And what happened? He was blessed. But then the Lord told him to return to his father's house. And he did, and the blessings continued to flow. Even when he was told to go to Egypt, what happened? The best of the land was given to him and his descendants. You see, where everywhere where Jacob went, when he was in obedience to the Lord, he was blessed every single step of the way. David, when he was in complete obedience, he saw the Lord bless him in every way possible. If you look at Old Testament Israel, when they believed in the Lord, they were blessed. When you look at the church and the believers, if you look, we never read about the Apostle Paul holding a telethon, raising money for his ministry. Why? Because he was in complete obedience to the Lord, and the Lord blessed him every step of the way. Here is a man who relied on the Lord, and he was blessed. And he even taught this. How do you know? Philippite church giving to Jerusalem church. And what was the end result? My God shall supply all your needs according to your riches in glory. The blessings came. Even in this time, the blessings are there. Now, who's inside of us? Holy Ghost. What are we to do? Walk after the Spirit. Or do what the Spirit is leading and guiding us to do. So what happens when we follow the leading and the guiding of the Spirit? One, when the Spirit leads us into giving our finances, we will be blessed. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Because the Spirit is living in other people as well. He will lead them to give to you instead. But it begins with us following the leading and the guiding of the Spirit. The second area, blessing, time. This is the one thing that people view more precious now than anything else. Time. But when the Spirit says, give your time to me, you will see your time blessed over and over again. Because the Spirit inside of you is leading you to do this. And then let me add one more. Service. Service. You have been given talents by the Lord. But now with the Holy Ghost inside of you, those talents are going to go to a higher level. Why? Because the Spirit is leading you into wisdom and knowledge that you did not have before. But now, you will see these things multiply. The following, the leading, and the guiding of the Spirit. You see, the Spirit inside of us is going to lead us into blessing. Because that's what Jesus wants to do. Now, where have we just been? Healing, deliverance, and blessing. Let me add a fourth one. Testimony. What did Jesus say? You will be witnesses of me. What can we witness about Jesus? One, He saved me. Two, He baptized me with the Holy Ghost. Three, He healed me. Four, I've been delivered. And five, I am blessed. You see, we have a testimony. And the Spirit wants us to testify of what the Lord is doing in our lives. There are two ways in which we could shut off the blessings of the Lord in our lives. One is disobedience, and the second is not testifying. We need to tell others what the Lord is doing so they can be saved, so they can begin to have the Holy Ghost operate these things in their lives. Are we still here? I want us to look at the Holy Ghost this morning in a different light. The Holy Ghost wants us to look at Him in a different light. He's inside of you, every single believer. He's inside of you. Even those, wherever you are. The Holy Ghost, if you are a believer in Jesus, especially if you're baptized with the Holy Ghost is inside of you at all times. And when you follow the leading and the guiding of the Spirit, you will be overcomers and victorious. Following the Spirit. This is the key to how to live your life in every single way. But I'm facing sinful situations. Follow after the Spirit, and you will not give in to them. But I need healing. Follow after the Spirit and He will lead you into healing. But I'm broke. Follow after the Spirit and He will lead you into blessing. In all areas of your life, follow after the Spirit. Let's look at the gifts real fast. I don't know what to do. Rely on the Spirit. He will give you wisdom and knowledge. He will give you discernment in that situation. He will give you a stronger faith that you've never had before. Remember the man whose son was full of the demons he couldn't hear? He asked Jesus, "Help thou my unbelief." Jesus, in this age of grace, has helped your unbelief. How did He do that? He gave you the Holy Ghost. Are we still here? When we look, the Apostle Paul, look at Hebrews. You're on milk. You need to be meat. What's meat? Holy Ghost. If you look at 1 Corinthians, you are carnal. What did Paul want? Follow after the Spirit. Now those in 1 Corinthians, they were baptized in the Holy Ghost, but they refused to go any further. What the Spirit is saying inside of you, go further. Trust me. Let me guide every single one of your steps. Every single one. A new dependency on the Holy Ghost. Let's wrap this thing up this morning. The Holy Spirit said a few days ago, to mark this date. Now, I know what the date is here. I'm not going to give it for those online. It's the date you're listening to this. Mark this date. This is the beginning of the change. The rest of this year, we'll see the change that we have been waiting for. It begins at this point. Mark this day. When the change happens, you will go back and you will be able to say, this is the day that it began. This is the moment it begins. The Spirit wants to move in a mighty and powerful way. And on this day, the day we're marking, we're going to allow the Spirit to move in a mighty and powerful way. The change that we are looking for, it begins on this day, and it will go from this point forward through the rest of this year. Believers in Jesus this morning, it hinges on one thing. You have the Spirit inside of you. Instead of saying, "Oh Lord, send the power just now," the power's inside of you. The only one who should be singing that song is those who are not baptized with the Holy Ghost, maybe those who are not saved. We are saved. We are new creatures in Christ. We have the Holy Ghost. The power is inside of us. The Spirit wants to release that power. This morning, allow the Spirit to release the power that's already inside of you. The power that leads to healing, to deliverance, to blessing, to being overcomers, to be victorious, to stand in the blessings that the Lord has. He has given you of His Spirit. You have it already. You just need to allow that Spirit to operate freely. Then you need to do what the Spirit tells you to do. This morning is about following after the Spirit. The Spirit that's already inside of you. You just need to allow that Spirit to freely operate. Then out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water. Let's stand across the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.